Hallelujah. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together and just give you praise and worship and thank you for your faithfulness. And God, I pray that you would anoint your word this morning that would change us and transform us, challenge us today to just share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are around us. And Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory. Take a coal from the altar. Let it cleanse my lips. Let me speak forth the absolute truth of the word of God today that would just set the captives free. And God, we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. I apologize there. I was talking to Richard. Yes. Organizational things. Anyways, I was talking to Richard, and Richard just drove out to Arizona with the Royal Rangers to drop off all the gifts for Toys for the Chief. That's what the program's called, Toys for the Chief. They went down to ship them, and it was going to cost over $3,000 to ship the toys. And so they decided to, just two of you, decided to take a couple days off of work and get in the truck and drive to Arizona because they got just nothing else to do, and Arizona's just around the corner. Drive to Arizona, drop off all the toys, and then drive back. So I was just checking with them to see how his trip went. And then and we have this supplier of toys that we get every year that we give to the Toys for the Chief, as well as we give them out within our communities in the past couple years. So I do have a source for some toys. If you guys know some people that are in need of toys and stuff like that, I do have a source where we can go down and pick out some toys for different ages and stuff like that. So if you have some neighbors or friends or family members or someone that you know that you just, they're financially just not going to have the gifts, give me a call this week and then I will call our friend, because she called me. We were supposed to, 2 weeks ago or a week ago or something? We were supposed to get together with her on a Saturday at the first of the month. And then she called me this last week and says, "Hey, Pastor, I got those toys. Do you need them still?" And I went, "Oh man, they left 2 days ago for Arizona." And she goes, "Oh no." And she goes, "My husband was in the hospital." And that's all she said. My husband was in the hospital, so I had to go see my husband in the hospital. And then I found out later this week, because I was talking to another pastor friend of mine, that her husband nearly died. He had a 4-way bypass. And that's why we didn't connect in order to get the toys. So I do have some toys that need to get distributed that I can get a hold of this lady and get some toys. So see me after the service today or call me this week if you can think of some places to put these toys. I think Richard's probably going to check to see if maybe we can still send some out that way that's not going to cost us $3,000. But anyway, so be aware of those kind of things that they're available out there. But an exciting trip for Richard, and I'm just glad our company commander would do that. Yeah.
We collect toys all year long, so they're not going to go to waste.
Okay.
They're going to go to the children. But if you do have some children that do need toys, let them know.
Yeah. So you and I will get together this week and call her. And talk to her about what we can do maybe to get some more to you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get started with our message this morning. The title of my message this morning is Re-Gift. Did you get the change, Dave? Because I changed the name. Good. Okay, good. It's Re-Gift. This time of year, we spend a lot of time preoccupied with thoughts of giving and receiving, and Christmas is coming. We've got our list. We're checking it twice. We've been to the store and we're shopping for whether they've been naughty or nice. We're just shopping for everyone. We are out there. We're in fact, I feel so obligated now. My brother just gave me a gift card. And so now I'm obligated. So now I got to go figure out what I'm going to get my brother. And then he also gave me socks. He gave me a big bag of socks. It's so awesome. My brother only wears socks once. Is this the weirdest thing? Okay, tell me if this is weird, because I think this is weird. He loves the feel of new socks, okay? So, and he wears two at a time. Two pairs of socks, okay? And so he only wears them once. I said, are you kidding me? And he's like, I think he only does it for his golf tournaments. So like he'll play in a golf tournament 3 or 4 days. So he'll wear new socks, two new pair of socks every day or every round for the whole thing. And then he doesn't wear those socks anymore. He just throws them in a bag. And then I look at him and go, what? And so last year he gave me like 3 bags of socks. I mean, trash bags full of socks. So we're divvying them all up. That's what Christmas is at our house. In fact, this year I'll go through and sort them all out. And when all the boys are home, I'll go, you guys get more socks. And then we wear them out. And so in our household, we wear them way more than once. So now I got to figure out, what do you get a guy who wears socks every day? Some more socks probably. So we spend all this time getting our gifts together, delivering gifts, spending and as we receive Christmas gifts, we may keep some. I don't know about you, but when you get gifts, you decide after you get them, don't you, whether you're gonna keep it, whether you're going to share it with others, or what we call regifting. Oh, here you go. Like my wife, she gets for her birthday and for Christmas at school, because she's a preschool teacher, all the parents bring her something, you know? So sometimes they'll bring her stuff, you know, and listen, sometimes gifts really are designed for regifting, aren't they? You just rewrap them up and give them to somebody else. In fact, I personally believe that they really only made one fruitcake about 80 years ago, and it has just been being passed down from generation to generation, because no one eats fruitcake, okay? You just re-gift fruitcake, right? Okay, and so, because have you ever had fruitcake?
Well, yeah.
You like it?
I get it all the time, yeah, and I eat it.
You're the one. Yeah. It all goes towards Richard. You all know to re-gift it to Richard. Huh? Yes, Dorothy. Yeah. You like, oh, and Dorothy, if you get, she'll re-gift, you can re-gift your fruitcake to Dorothy. It's a big funnel, all this fruitcake. But I think some things are just made for regifting. Some gifts are just designed to be regifted. So, for a moment, I'd like us to consider some of the gifts that we've received from God. In this holiday season, we've been given gifts from God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, Jesus tells his disciples, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." I believe Jesus was commissioning his 12 apostles and this applies also to us, to go out and to freely give the gifts that God has given us. So what are some of the gifts that Christ has given us and we've gotten from the Lord? Jesus Christ gave his life so that we who believed in him would receive eternal life. For John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We've received the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." We've received healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, and we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." All of our needs are supplied. Philippians 4:19, And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We receive joy. 1 Peter 1:8. This is the New Living Translation, says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And we have received peace, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we are his children. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. As we rejoice over all of that belongs to us through Christ, these are all things, you know, I like to put together these lists sometimes to remind us of the things we have received from God. Now, there's many, many things that we've received from God, gifts and callings and different things and blessings that God has given us in our lives. But these are specific verses that speak to a general area. And I like to have these areas. And you should make note of these and put them in the leaflet of your Bible. Because when people ask you, so where's the scripture on healing? Where's the scripture on provision? Where's the scripture on his peace? Where's the scripture on his joy? Where are these scriptures? You'll have them to where you can go, oh yeah, well here, let me write that down. And you can look in your Bible and go, yeah, that's in, you know, where's the scripture for healing? Because when you pray, remember we talked about this several weeks ago, when you pray, you need to know the word of God and be praying the word of God into a situation. And so pray that word into that situation. But Jesus told us we need to remember that we have also received a commission from Jesus. Jesus told us not only given us all these things, but he said to us, freely you have received, freely give. God sets an example for us when it says that God so loved the world that he gave. He gave the greatest sacrifice of all. He gave his son for us. But he started the giving process. You know, I always like to think about the sowing and reaping process as I sow. It was funny the other day. I was working a job this last week in a pot store, it wasn't that kind of pot. It wasn't a vase store. It was a cannabis store. And it was funny, my boss told me, he goes, hey, I need you to go down to this place and you're going to put security cameras all through this building. We're going to put 16 cameras in this building over the next couple of days, and you need to put them all in, and it's for a cannabis store. And I looked at him, I go, oh, I can't do that, man. And he's like, what? And I go, a cannabis store? That'd be unethical for me. He's like, oh, really? And you know what's weird? This will crack you up. They're Christians. Yeah, the cannabis guys, because he was talking about going to church, and I was like, But don't tell anybody I said this. I'm actually support the medical use of marijuana, okay? I do. I support the medical use of marijuana. Now, I don't support everyone's medical excuse for marijuana, okay? But I do support the medical use of marijuana. Is it okay? All right, and so. And so I tell people that all the time. Some guy's going, are you saying my car's not legitimate? And I said, dude, that's between you and the Lord. Okay. And that's not, you know, but anyways, I'm at this store. What was I talking about? Why was I there? No, wait a minute. Jesus Christ, your gospel. I forgot why I was there. Oh, freely have you received.
16
cameras. Gave. Oh, I remember now. Okay, I got there. Okay, I was standing there, and this guy, and they were talking about how that this guy was just saying, you know, no one ever gives you stuff. They don't. I've never been given a car. I had to go out and make the money to buy the car. No one's ever given me this. And I walked out in the room, and I go, well, I've been given a car. And he goes, you have? And I go, yeah, I think the last four cars that I've gotten were all given to me. And by the way, I need to get given another one. But because one of the ones that I got given isn't working. And so, and he goes, really? And I go, and I go, yeah, but I've probably given away twice that many cars, or I've given away a lot of cars through the years when I was working at full time in pastoring and youth pastoring. If I bought a car, I'd use it for a little while and then I'd give it to someone else in need. And I don't know if since my wife and I have been married, I don't know if we've actually sold a car. We just, you know, used it. And then when we were done using it and we were going to the next car, we just gave that car that we had and just gave it to someone else that had no car. And we just gave them because they were in need of a car. I said, so we've sowed into it. And I don't know if you guys really believe in this, but I do. I believe in sowing and reaping. And I believe God started the process of giving. God started that process even when he gave his son. When he decided that he was going to give his son for us, he started the process of gaining a harvest that would just blow us away. If you look at it statistically, I believe there's probably more Christians on earth right now than there is in heaven. Because there are more people on earth than there are in heaven that have already gone on before us and gone to be with the Lord. There are probably more people on earth today that believe in Jesus than there are people in heaven. Now, the ones in heaven aren't struggling with their belief quite as much as us on earth, but the people that call themselves believers on earth, there's probably more on earth than there is in heaven right now, just because the sheer numerical number that we're growing in a great deal of, we're growing faster here on earth than they've been growing in heaven. But God is expecting to have a harvest when he comes back. That's why the scriptures talk about that the fields are white with harvest. There is so much to do because the field keeps growing. It just keeps growing and growing. And we need to be aware of that. Jesus told us in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to give by going into the world and preaching Jesus to them. And according to Matthew 8, we are to heal the sick. Mark 16:18 says, they, the believers, will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. According to Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, we are to cleanse the leper. Now, immediately you start thinking, when you think of the word leper, you think of someone with a skin disease and kind of messed up. But leprosy can also be a type or a symbol of sin. Although in this situation, Jesus is talking about actually healing lepers. I want to apply this verse, though, to illustrate that Jesus is telling his disciples to go out and to tell people how to cleanse them from their sins. He's speaking to us about going out and not only just cleansing the leper, because if you happen to run into a leper out there, you can pray for them. If you happen to come up on someone that needs some healing, guess what? You can pray for them. You have actually been commissioned to pray for them because you have a gift inside of you that is eager to be regifted. The healing that God's done in your life is the healing that he wants to do in others' lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. This is the commission of God for us to go to those. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This should be a verse that you know. I have said that verse enough times in this church that you should have it memorized just because you've heard me say it so many times. When someone comes to you and say, I'm going through this or I'm going through that, you can say, you know what? God says that he is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful in this area. And we need to be praying with people, looking for opportunity, reconciling people to God. Now, all across America right now, there are pastors in their pulpits talking about the situation that happened last week and trying to get people to understand that this is an opportunity for, in conversation, for those of us to reconcile people back to God. You know, when we were talking about it while we were playing, and I said, I said, you know, the biggest thing is that I feel bad for that kid. Because no one could get through to that kid enough with God's grace that would have transformed that kid. All this could have been avoided if someone could have reached that kid. You know, and there are kids everywhere that are like that, that need to be reached. What do they need to be reached with? With God's love, with God's mercy, with God's grace. See, I wouldn't be praying for God's mercy, his grace, and his love to be over those parents right now if someone would have reached that young man with God's grace. Now, I am glad that God's grace will cover the multitude of that guy's sin, and we can, you know, and God will recover and restore. I'm thankful for his restoration. I'm thankful that we can reconcile ourselves back to God. And so many of us have, but I just, in this season when we're thinking about all these gifts that we want to give, and all these things, and oh, I've got to make sure I cover Aunt Martha and cousin this and they and brother, all these people we got to get gifts for, and the one thing we're forgetting is that we have these gifts that have been given to us that we need to give, and we're missing opportunities. I think even when we're in the stores, to look for opportunities to cleanse the leper, to restore people to Christ. It also says that we're to raise the dead. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us that before we believed in Jesus, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. When we preach the gospel to someone and someone is born again, as a result, in one sense, we're raising them from the dead. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me. I'm not trying to represent me. When we're out there and you're going through your life, it's no longer about you. It's about the life that now lives in you. And there's a purpose for your life, and the purpose is to re-gift. There's not one person in this room right now without a testimony of what God has done in some area of blessing in their life. If you look hard enough, I'm sure God has done at least a little something for you. Jesus just a little something, blessed you just a little bit, where you can share with someone, look, you know, when things are hard, I go to God. I give my problems to the Lord. We're also told to cast out demons. While this phrase, too, is literal in driving away the devil, when Jesus is speaking here, but in James, it also says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Like Jesus, we've been raised from the dead. The devil already had had a battle with Jesus, but Jesus did not emerge victorious just for himself. He did it for you and I. Jesus went to war. You know, I love that old Carmen song, you know, for the fight, you know, and the big battle. You guys remember that song with Carmen? What's the name of that thing? It's, they usually bring it out around Easter. Champion, that's the name of it. Yeah, that was. I like that song. I remember when it first came out, man, that was just the big rage of listening to that thing. All the youth groups were all doing the human video skits to it, you know, and the fight and the battle, and Jesus was raised from the dead victorious, but he did it for us, and he was raised as our substitute, and now we're raised with him. And when we talk to someone about knowing Jesus and coming to the Lord, that and we're raising them from the dead. We're dead in our trespasses, the Bible says. And then when we come to know Jesus, we're being raised from the dead. You've been commissioned to raise the dead. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the leper, heal the sick. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I could do all that. Well, you've been told. You got it. You've been healed. You've been cleansed. You've been raised from the dead. All these things have been given to you. And now Jesus says, you've been received free and clear. You didn't pay for them. I paid for them. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 8 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now we have the same power within us that Jesus had. You know, I really believe that the reason that Jesus said that we'll do more things, that when he said, you'll do greater things than me, is because of the multitude of people that would be doing what he was doing. I mean, let's just say that Jesus touched and impacted 10,000 people in his 3 years of ministry. Okay, let's just, I'm just throwing that number out. I've never gone in there and went one, two, three. And there's probably not an accurate number that we could get to, but I'm just going to say, let's say 10,000. Okay, so Jesus ministered to 10,000. Okay, now just in this room, right now, if all of us just ministered to a quarter of that, that's 2,500 people over the next 3 years. 2,500. Look how many we would do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'd be 50, 60,000 people would be impacted by Christ. See, why would we do, how are we going to do greater things than him? Man, he was the Son of God. He was perfect in every way. And I'm not perfect in every way. But even if I could just do a small amount of the giving that he did in his life, just by sheer numbers, we'll do greater things than what history has recorded that Christ did. Amen? Just by sheer numbers, we'll do more. And so it's not all up to you. It's all up to the body of Christ to go out, though, and be conscious of giving. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, we read what Jesus said to his disciples just before he sent them out. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. The power that Jesus walked in is the power that you walk in. He's commissioned you in his power. I remember years ago, I was praying and I still do, but years ago, my brother one time, called my cousin up and said, "Hey, because we were mutual friends." And anyway, so he calls my cousin up and he says, "Hey, I need you to talk to Tim. I think he's lost it." This was years ago. This was probably, it was probably 17 years ago, something like that. He calls him up and says, "Man, I need you to talk to Tim." And he's like, and Mike's like, "Well, why? Why do I need to talk to Tim?" He says, "He thinks he can heal people." And Mike goes, no, I'm sure that Tim doesn't think he can heal people, but he believes that God, through him, is healing people. Because when we were in Montana years ago, we had some manifestations of some big healing events that happened in our church. We had a lady healed of glaucoma. We had one lady that was crippled from a car accident for 5 years. She threw down her cane and started running around the church right in the middle of service when we prayed for her. We had one lady who had documented glaucoma. She was our piano player. She was taking drops and stuff, and she went back to the doctor for her checkup, and the doctor said, "You need to stop taking your drops." And she said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Well, because there's no more glaucoma in your eyes at all." And she said, "Really?" And he goes, "And I don't understand why. Because glaucoma doesn't go away." Yeah. I mean, the drops don't heal it. They just slow it up, you know? And I'm like, and so we prayed and he received sight. One time I was in a meeting, he called all the pastors up and asked us to pray for people. You know, so people came up and I'd met this guy before the service started. He was deaf. I met him. Another pastor friend of mine introduced him to me, and we shook hands and we talked, and he wrote things down and we talked and stuff. And he came up and he asked me to pray that he would hear. So because you know, I'm just a man of great faith and power, of course I knew this was going to happen. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." I'm like, "Oh." So I said, "Okay." So I prayed for him. His ears opened up and he heard. Couldn't believe it. I was more shocked than him, I think. I was like, "Oh." And this is not how it's supposed to work. The pastor is supposed to know, right? He's supposed to have the confidence. But I was so excited, I started looking for people in wheelchairs. Because God was moving, you know? And I was like, "Wow, this is awesome," you know? And I think those were the stories at that time that I was telling my brother about. And so that's why he called up Mike and said, "He thinks it." And you know what? And since then we've been to Russia and we've seen people healed. We saw a lady healed of cancer in Russia. We've seen people throughout our ministry healed and touched and blessed and just God doing miraculous things through his power flowing through us and through our ministry. And it's just been, exciting, exciting, exciting being givers. Taking the gifts that he's given us and giving it back, you know? Right now, probably my big ministry right now is I'm still trying to minister into the lives of those that are hooked on drugs and alcohol. You know, I'm still trying to be an example to those people because that's the lifestyle I came out of. You know, and so it's taken me 20 years to get back to those people, but it probably took me 20 years to get strong enough to hang out with those people. Because I needed to get strong in him. But all the power and authority that Christ has given his disciples, we are his disciples. We can tell the devil, "I resist you in the name of Jesus." Because of Jesus, the devil is under our feet. We're trampling upon the enemy. We're crushing the head of Jesus, we're crushing the head of the enemy right now under our foot. If we're willing to stand in Christ. You know, here's the thing, and someone gave us the gospel message and we freely receive salvation through Christ. And now it's our turn to give out that gospel, to give that back. You know, and I've told you guys many, many times that, you know, that it was on an Easter Sunday that I went to church when I was in jail, and a preacher came and preached the message and asked if anyone wanted to know Christ, and I raised my hand, not because I, and the weird thing was, is I wasn't there because I wanted to be there. The guy that was in the bunk next to me had, I met him, I'll just tell this story real quick. I met him, and we were the only two guys in the whole dorm room. And then I got in trouble, which was my custom, to get in trouble. And I got in trouble and I got sent to another jail. Okay. And then, and the guy was so led of the Lord, because he had his Bibles out all over the place, and he was a backslidden Christian, struggled with alcoholism and was in jail. And so he said he put his hands on my bunk every single night before he went to bed and prayed that God would bring me back to that bunk so that he could minister the gospel to me. 7 days later, I got brought back and the entire dorm was full and that bunk was still open, and I took that bunk. And then he asked me, he said, you know, I've been praying for you. And I remember sitting in there, I turned 25 in jail. And I was sitting there and I looked across the room and I saw this guy that was 50. And I said, man, if I don't change something in my life, I'm going to be that 50-year-old guy sitting in jail. And I just don't want to be that guy. And so I got up and I started to walk back to my dorm room. And that's when this guy walked up and said, hey, listen, I've been praying that you would go to church with me on Easter Sunday. And I said, okay, I'll go. So I went with him on Easter Sunday to church. The little black preacher preached a message on Jesus saves, you know, or something, you know, the resurrected Jesus or something. I don't even know what he preached on. But he said, did anybody want to know Jesus? He raised his hand. I raised my hand. I accepted Christ. And I've been serving him ever since. Not perfect, but I've been serving him. He's been perfect the entire time. I started, and that was in April. By September, I was in Bible college. By before the next year, before that next year, I was already given my testimony in church services. The first time I ever shared my testimony, I'm pretty sure the first time I ever shared my testimony, because I shared it twice. I shared it once in front of the regular singles group and then once out in an outreach thing one time. But the first time I ever shared it was in front of 600 or 700 people. That's my first speaking engagement. It's been going down, no. The numbers have been going, no. And since then, the Lord's taken me all over in the last 20-something years, preaching and giving away what he gave me as a free gift. See, we've all had someone in our lives that came in at one moment or another and shared the gospel with us. We all should know this day. It was a big day. Came in and shared the gospel with us and said, listen, I've got this free gift for you. Would you like it? And we said, yeah, I'll take that gift. And we opened it up, and Jesus came into our life, and he transformed our lives. And that same gift that you've been given, Jesus says to you, that same gift, make opportunity to give that gift to other people, to allow other people to know the gift of salvation, to know who Jesus is. The best way to enjoy the blessing we've received from Jesus is to give it away or to re-gift. Show them the way to receive God's best for their lives. The principle is true. The more we give, the more we will receive. This is true with money, with talent, with time, with love. The more you give, the more you receive. We cannot outgive God. And who would have thought that re-gifting was biblical? Especially fruitcakes. It's biblical to give it to Dorothy or Richard. Oh. Biblical to re-gift. to take what God's given us and give it back to others, and to look for opportunity for to help someone change their life, to reconcile themselves with God, and to be back with and to be in a right relationship with God. So this Christmas season, let's purpose in our hearts to give freely the blessings God has freely given to us, including salvation, the Holy Spirit, healing, joy, peace. Freely we have received, now freely we can give. We have all these things. You know, you have all these things in you. You've got them all bottled up inside of you. And maybe you've been hoarding them. Maybe you've been hanging on to them, and you need to repent over hanging on to these gifts and hoarding them for yourselves. Because see, these gifts that you've been given by God are gifts that you're supposed to share. They grow in you more and more when you share them. The more you share them, the greater it is in your own life. The more you see things change. When I've been to Russia a couple of times, it's so exciting to see the transformation from people's lives. I remember being in one of the colleges one time speaking, and one of the students said, "Well, why are you here telling us about, don't you have enough problems in the U.S.? Don't you guys have your own problems in the U.S.?" And I said, "We do. We do. And I wouldn't stand here and tell you that we're perfect in the U.S. Like we've got all of our problems solved, because we don't. But I know one thing." And I probably wasn't supposed to say this, but I did anyways. I said, "I know one thing. By the grace of God, He's changed us. He's changed me. I once was this way." I can speak to you about the use of drugs, because we were there for a drug and alcohol thing. I said, about drugs and alcohol. And the reason I can talk to you about that is I once was. I can tell you that I once was, and now I'm not. And the reason I'm not is because of the grace of Jesus Christ in my life. And His power, His resurrection power working in me. His grace empowering me to live as truth demands me to live. It's His grace that keeps me in this thing, nothing else. You know, I think about that sometimes. Do you ever think about that when you're repenting of your sin or whatever you've done that you know you shouldn't have done, and you're like struggling with something, and you're giving it back to God, and you're like, "Okay, God, I promise to be better." And I always hear this still small voice in me say, "Would you quit trying? Your problem is you keep trying. Just give it to me, and I will give you the power to overcome." You know what I mean? Because I keep thinking, I got to be perfect. Do you ever wrestle with that? I got to be perfect, so I got to do it right. But see, what it is it's not me doing it right. It's Him working through me for righteousness' sake. Amen? And so sometimes you got to get the right thought here in the process. But anyways, let's re-gift what God's given us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love You, and we thank You. We thank You for this time that we can just receive from You a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit in our lives and a fresh anointing in our lives, God. And we repent, Lord, if we've been holding back and sharing the gospel with other people and sharing what You've given us and freely given to us. Lord, we repent of that, and we want to make opportunity for those things. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've drifted from that relationship, and you want to make sure that you're in a right relationship with the Lord right now, if you'll just slip up your hand, we would love to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. Amen, amen. Lord, bless everyone that's here today. Challenge them with this thought of regifting. Challenge them, Lord, as Your word has challenged them. Freely they have received, freely let them give. Let them give into people's lives, their neighbors that are around them. Give the gift of grace, the gift of mercy, the gift of love. Just allow us this Christmas season to go to see our families and go to see our friends and just make opportunity to share about the love of Christ and what God has done in our own lives. God, we just give You praise. We give You glory for the wonderful things You're doing in us and in our church. And we know You have a plan and a purpose for us, God. And we submit to that plan and we submit to that purpose. And we give You all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.